Caskey hits this one deep to left field. This has a chance. This ball is gone. It's a walk-off home run.
Now Caleb driving left side. Alley-oop to Nelson. Throws it down with two hands.
Raiders make the handoff. Keeps it running left. He's across midfield. 40, 30, 20, 10. Jalen Reiner to the house.
Welcome to the Second to None podcast. The A-State Podcast, presented by First National Bank and Cavanaugh Auto Group. Now, here's Matt Stoltz and Brad Bobo.
Coming up, an amazing opening weekend for the volleyball team. 3-0 start to their season. We'll talk all about that. Also, soccer had another busy week. We'll tell you off the top here, there's no guest today because we got plenty to talk about.
Yeah.
It was an extremely busy week. We're going to spend this first part talking about football, because as we all know, it was opening weekend for A-State football.
Let me say this too, because hopefully you've come here over these last 3 years expecting, looking forward to hearing a guest, and I don't blame you. We enjoy them, but if you stick around here, listen to us yap. The other thing we like to do, you know, besides have great guests, is we promise sometimes we'll lift the curtain and show you, tell you about stuff you might not have seen or heard otherwise. So if you stick with us here, I may do that at a level we've never done it before. I'll take you more behind the scenes of opening night than we've ever gone before.
That's quite a promise right off the top. All right, so let's talk about the game.
Yep.
We'll talk about the game itself. And look, we mentioned it last week. We knew it was a big challenge going in with one of the better teams in the FCS coming in here. Preseason number 11, I think somebody actually said as high as number 7 in one of the FCS polls. But UCA proved they're a good team, and we expected that. And in the first half, the Red Wolves controlled the game in a lot of ways. The opening drive, able to go down and get points, that's always good on the very first drive of the season, ended in a 44-yard field goal by Clune Van Andel. He won the job just this past week. I thought he had a good night.
Mm-hmm.
They're up 3-0 at that point. And then the second drive, 18 plays, 75 yards. It took 7 minutes and 23 seconds off the clock. And as it was over, I text Mark Taylor and I said, when was the last time we had a drive that long? It was that drive at Troy in 2016 that ended the game. You remember the famous drive went over 10 minutes to end that blowout win for the Red Wolves on the road. But it's been 8 years since we had a drive that took up so much time. Such a beautiful drive, except for the ending, because there was a sack on second and goal, and we ended up settling for a field goal. So at that point, it's 6-0, and you feel like the Red Wolves are kind of dominating the game. But I know we've talked about it many times over the years. When you settle for field goals early in the game, it's just not a good feeling. You feel like you're letting the other team hang around.
Well, you've dominated a game that's a one-possession affair.
Yeah.
You feel like, though we've come out and we're doing what we want, we've got control of this thing, and we're a play away from being behind.
Exactly. And the defense was dominant in the first half. In fact, they held UCA to 88 yards in the first 30 minutes of the game. So they were doing their job, pitched a first half shutout. And the offense, they sputtered at times in the first half, but I thought they closed the half strong, had a good drive there at the end of the half. And it was Zach Wallace that found the end zone for the first time this year.
Twin receivers split out to the left. Manny Stevenson will now motion, become an H-back on that left side. Give it to Wallace up the middle. He's in. Touchdown, Zach Wallace from a yard out. The Red Wolves are in the end zone for the first time this year with 37 seconds remaining in the opening half.
So you're up 13-0 at the half and you feel pretty good. But I think we saw a couple of mistakes in the one area where we really didn't expect to see them early in the second half, and that was special teams. And a couple of special teams mistakes ended up costing the Red Wolves. And before you know it, 4.5 minutes into the third quarter, it's a 3-point game. UCA had scored 10 points. It's 13-10. But the Red Wolves answered back. They get another touchdown run by Zach Wallace.
Little and H back on the right. Harden goes in motion. Handed off to Wallace. He's in. Second touchdown of the night for Zach Wallace. And the Red Wolves lead by 2 scores once again with 7:40 remaining in the third.
It's 20-10 at this point, and Another good drive later in the third. It ends early in the fourth.
Wallace stands to the right of the quarterback, Jalen Rayner. Jalen will keep it. What a move! Dives into the end zone for the score. He faked the pitch to Wallace. Able to find the end zone. A magnificent run by the sophomore quarterback. And A-State is an extra point away from going up three scores just 45 seconds into the fourth quarter.
And it's 27-10.
Yes.
45 seconds into the fourth quarter. You think this game is probably right. over. It's a three-possession game.
That was the most comfortable spot right there. You're sure not thinking about coming from behind.
Credit to UCA, though. How about Shunderrick Powell? He showed out the other night. Kid from right down the road, former Hoxie Mustang. He goes for the 81-yard touchdown run, and it's a 10-point game after the extra point. Then the offense goes three and out. UCA scores again. It's 27-24. Still, the offense has the ball with under 3 minutes to go. Big third down catch by Corey Rucker. Goes for 10 yards. You think, okay, 220-something remaining in the game. Picked up the first down. A-State's going to be able to run it out. Well, before you know it, there's a strip sack and a fumble. A couple of plays later, UCA's in the end zone. 55 seconds to go, and UCA's got their first lead of the game.
We also got your first look at sort of the evolution of clock management with the new two-minute timeout. Yep. The last media timeout, for some reason, I've seen the NCAA doesn't want it called the two-minute warning in college.
That's that, too.
The last media timeout of the second quarter and the fourth quarter, so the last one of each half, is coming either with 2 minutes on the clock if it's rolling then or the first time the ball's dead after that. So we saw that come into play, right? We had the football there and had to stop the clock stop and get a timeout with 2 minutes to play.
So 55 seconds to go. You got to have a touchdown. You're down four. I'll admit it. I'm having deja vu. I'm thinking about 2016, and I'm sure 21,000 plus in the stadium are thinking the same thing. But credit A-State. They made it happen when they had to. They come out and begin the drive at the 30-yard line. It's fourth and four. Got to have it. And Jalen Rayner finds Corey Rucker.
Fourth and four from their own 36. Rayner going deep right side looking for Rucker. And he makes the catch. And there's a flag on top of it. It was interference, but Corey caught it anyway at the 22 of UCA.
What a catch by Corey. And look, I know there was an interference too. You're going to get a flag either way, but if it's interference, that's just 15 right. yards. Instead, Corey makes the catch for a 42-yard gain, and still there's just 20 seconds remaining. Dump it off over the middle to Jaquez Cross. He gets it down to the 7. It sets up first and goal, and there's 7 seconds remaining. You know you probably got two shots at
yep.
it. That's when the play that everybody's talking about happened. Jalen finds Corey on the fade on first and goal, and watching it live, I couldn't tell. I was just watching like everybody else to see what they called on the field. They signaled it incomplete, and it was a 4-minute replay review. I swear it felt like an hour and a half. And I'm sure it did for you, too.
No, you know, the thing is, I bet it felt longer for you than for me, even though it felt plenty long. Because y'all had to sit there and keep talking about it, which I'm sure was for about the first minute. 90 seconds was easy to do. But I don't know what you talk about the last 2 or 3 minutes of them looking at the same play over and over. And
yeah, you just talk about it because we continued to see it on the replay. And I remember mentioning you
on the broadcast. I heard about this a little bit.
Look, if you're going to keep it up on the board, then you got to feel confident about what you're seeing. I mean, you did keep it up on the video board and kind of held that freeze frame with Corey putting his toe down.
Well, so this will be maybe the first trip behind the curtain here. The truth, you're probably giving me too much credit. Well, you're not probably. You definitely are. It's funny that the first day this comes up, like the first game we've got it, this happens. The Sun Belt honestly has rules about what you can do and what you can show during a review. It's funny, they're wildly different for basketball and football. In basketball, they say if a play's being reviewed, you can show your copy of that play, your version of that play, one time full speed, and that's it. That's all you're supposed to do. In football, they give you two options. You either can pick up the ESPN feed and literally just put what TV's watching on the board. And that's what we had done in years prior. Or in football, if you've got access to it, you literally can call up the DV sport feed and watch what the replay officials are watching. And that's what was up. That was straight. What you guys were seeing on the board was what the replay crew was watching for that whole time. A couple of weeks ago, some of our folks, Chase Weeks, I'll shout him out. He helped us get a DV sport feed run from the room it's in into our some of the new equipment we have in our control room. And so for the first time, we had the ability to just punch a button and bring to the board what the replay official was seeing.
All right, so let's go further into this. If it's not looking favorable with you in control of that video board, would you have put something else up at that point? When you see the replay and DV Sports taking a look at it, now I know the toe's down, but the other question is, does he have control of the ball? And ultimately they ruled that, yes, he did have enough control of the football to determine it was a catch. But if you see that it's not going our way inside the stadium, do you take it off,
potentially,
off the board?
Yeah, potentially, especially if it was reversed and we got the call and a review looked like it might overturn it against us or something, then yeah, maybe so. But honestly, in this case, the thought never crossed my mind, because if we're doing all this other stuff, I'm really not even paying attention. And all of a sudden I hear our people start going nuts, cheering. And that's the first time, I mean, they saw a review. And here's the thing, like we would put it up not knowing if it was going our way or not. I mean, obviously it couldn't have told you. I mean, and matter of fact, until the white hat turned his mic on, I couldn't have told you what he was calling.
And I didn't know if it was going to be enough to overturn it. It was one of those where it was so close that in the back of your mind, you're thinking, well, are they just going to go with whatever was called on the field? Now, I thought it was interesting, too, because Corey Rucker mentioned this in his press conference after the game. He's talking to the media, and he said, look, we had already determined we were going to run the same play. We were going back to the fade if they had called it incomplete. So they were ready to run it again.
It's funny, because actually the thought crossed my mind is that I know they're wanting that thing to get overturned, and obviously they're seeing an angle to make them think it's might, but they've got the next play called and ready to go either way. So I'm not surprised by that bit of info.
Yeah, I mean, and why not go to Corey Rucker? He's the reason you're in that spot. He made the incredible catch on 4th and 4. He finished with 9 catches for 179 and a touchdown. And Coach Jones talked about it during his post-game interview on the radio side. And I know he mentioned it again during the TV show and the press conference as well. But just the competitive grit that Corey Rucker showed the other night, it was really impressive.
And when Coach went to the press conference, and I'm sure he said it again to you on the TV show, and he says they didn't panic when UCA took the lead.
Yeah,
I believe that. It didn't look like it. It didn't feel like it. I don't even think I felt like it. So I believe it. I mean, especially when you had all the timeouts and enough time to you stretch them out with the timeouts. I thought, you know, they can go down and do something here. And then again, when you get the big chunk, then that changes the complexion of everything.
Jalen finished 24 of 47 for 317, a touchdown and an interception. That interception came in the first half. It was a ball that was in Courtney Jackson's hands and popped out, and UCA was able to come out with it. And then Jalen, also the leading rusher, he had 50 rushing yards and a rushing touchdown. I think he'll tell you he didn't play to the level, though, that he expected. So I think this team, it's a good teaching moment for him, because you'd rather teach off a win than a loss. But you know this team can be a whole lot better, especially when you think about the offensive line.
Right.
At the end of that game, we had one starter on the offensive line. McKeelan Thomas couldn't play the other night. He was out. Jacob Bear was hurt. Of course, he's been hurt since the spring. He had practiced last week, though, and we expect him to go this week against Tulsa. But Elijah Zolikoffer couldn't finish the game. EJ Doma Ogar did not finish the game as well. Mekhi Butler was the only starter left on that offensive line at the end of the game. So once you start to get healthier there, we kind of expected that to be one of the strengths of this team. This offense is going to be a lot better.
And people aren't watching for that part, right? It's those offensive linemen, unfortunately, a lot of times are anonymous. I mean, Jacob Bear is enough of a known commodity that people can look and know if he's out there. But past that, right? Joe Fan's not looking to see who we got in on the offensive line. And as you said, a couple of those situations we kind of went in knowing was the situation, a couple of guys we knew we wouldn't see. And then you tack on a couple of more, as you mentioned, didn't finish. And you go win the game with one starting offensive lineman on the field. That's pretty impressive. Because number one, I mean, you never apologize for winning.
No.
And then number two, it's one of those times where we all do it. We only look at the world through this tunnel vision of our team. But you got to think about the transfer portal era and how it's affected everything, right? If you're the person and you're the argument that, hey, the transfer portal, you know, you're going to take some losses, but you're going to get some gains too, and it's funneled talent down to, let's say, the group of five level that maybe schools weren't able to get before. Well, then guess what else it's done? It's funneled talent down to the FCS level that schools weren't able to get before. These times where good FCS programs go in and beat FBS teams are going to become less and less rare.
You see it. There's more group of five teams knocking off power five teams.
Right. So the same thing is true. I mean, it doesn't stop here. The talent just keeps getting spread out because of the transfer portal.
Bottom line, the Red Wolves win it 34-31. They improved to 1-0 on the season. We're going to talk about Tulsa, but we're also going to talk about everything else that went along with a very busy game week last week. And we're going to do that when we come back here on the Second to None podcast.
Get huge savings now at every Cavanaugh dealership. Cavanaugh has a great selection of late model, low mileage, certified pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs. And most are still under factory warranty. We have every make and every model, so you're sure to find the vehicle you want. And when you buy at Cavanaugh, every new and used purchase comes with 1 year of free maintenance. Plus, we buy cars. Bring a vehicle, get a check. Come see us today at one of our dealerships or go to CavanaughCars.com.
This is Coach Butch Jones, and we need you to help our A-State athletic programs by donating to the Impact Club. This is an organization that is making a real difference in the lives of our student-athletes. Make a monthly commitment and get access to team newsletters, special gear, and exclusive access that you will not find anywhere else. Find out more and give today at ImpactClub.com. That's Impact spelled ImpactClub.com. Your support is greatly appreciated and is helping our programs right now. Wolves up.
And we welcome you back into the Second to None podcast presented by Cavanaugh Auto Group and by First National Bank, where they put you first always. A-State coming off the win, and we talked about everything that happened on the field Saturday, but there was a lot of other stuff that went on around the game last week. And first off, I'll say this, good momentum the whole week. It even started back on Wednesday night with the radio show. We had a great crowd, overflow crowd at Live with the Red Wolves over at Lost Pizza. Order the pack on Thursday night. Looked like we had a great crowd out there for that.
That's an awesome event. Yep, that was great.
And then you get to the game itself. I know you put it out on social media. Best student section, best crowd we've had just overall since pre-COVID, nearly 22,000. The Red Wolf Walk was great.
It was. Jeff Purinton sent out a text in a little group, you know, when it was over. It was the best one he had seen here. And sometimes I judge it sometimes by how close, where in the parking lot does Governor Beebe have to stand?
Yeah,
he kind of goes to the end of the line, and he was all the way down at the bottom of the stairs going to the gate.
Good. That's where we want him.
That's where we need Governor Beebe standing.
I thought it was cool, too, that at the end of the game, when that replay was going on, I looked around the stadium during that 4 minutes, and I'm thinking, man, this place is still full. It didn't seem like many people had left, and I thought it was great that so many people stuck around for the finish. Obviously, it being a close game,
right,
that factored in. I will tell you, and you had mentioned, and Jerry Scott had mentioned to me, on Friday, there was a lightning meeting at some point.
There was, yep.
Throughout the second half, I'm looking out beyond the stadium, and of course, we're high up where we're at. And to the north, there's just a lightning show going on.
Sure was.
I'm thinking they're going to call this thing. There's going to be a delay. We're going to have to stretch this out. Thank goodness that did not happen. Now, I did have Cade Carlton, who was spotting for me, kind of look up the radar, and he saw everything was up around Paragould.
Right.
And of course, you're always wondering, you know, how far away the lightning is, and it's an 8 mile radius.
Well, I think there's an 8 to 15. Once it gets within 15, like even stuff is subject to getting delayed.
But it seemed like it was right in that vicinity where, man, this thing might get delayed at some point.
If that thing had, you know, back built or shifted a little south, fortunately that cell up there kind of moved due east. And I mean, it was close, and believe me, there were eyeballs on it. Again, we promised to kind of go behind the scenes. That's just one layer of that onion too, is that, you know, in the booth I'm in, you know, with PA and all the clock operators in front of me and our control room behind me, guy operating the sound is in a little booth attached to that. But then he's got a window that opens into a booth that the only person in there is UPD. And one of the things they're doing is in there, we've got the radar up. And so, I mean, it was, pun intended, I guess, is it was on everyone's radar to be watching.
Do we know how close the lightning was?
I don't know the number, but I know it was getting close enough that it was.
I just remember watching. With every flash of lightning, obviously I'm paying attention to the field, but there was a bunch of it out in the distance.
Sure
and
was.
Thinking,
yeah.
Man, I hope that's further than 8 miles away.
Yep, and it was. And fortunately, not to segue to soccer, but they dealt with the same thing on Thursday night. Lightning just far enough away to matter affected them. We'll talk about that in a bit. But yeah, the crowd was good. Student section was great. Patio at the Pines was full.
Yeah, that looked great over
there. The new signage there looks sweet.
Saw the naked guys there in the front row. That's always good.
Men's basketball was hanging out on the patio. I think baseball had a group on the patio. Tennis was over there at some point. A couple of fraternities. There's a section in that patio at the Pines that student groups can basically reserve. We had a couple of fraternities. I think KA and Lambda Chi hooked up, and they had their gentlemen up on the – they're behind the ropes. They're in the VIP. Got another group coming in Saturday, so all that part was great. You know, we've been begging them. We did a little bit last year and really couldn't get that message across, and started hammering again, making sure that they knew we wanted those letters back in the stadium.
Yeah, I thought that was cool.
It's the way it's supposed to be. The week before, the Friday before game week, I actually went on to campus to what they call a tri-council meeting, which is every Greek organization on campus has a representative in there. And I've been at that meeting a couple times before in years past, went again this year, and just I just don't want to be any mystery. Like, we want you guys to bring those letters back. And I think one of the things that probably, I'll give a shout out here, one of the things that probably helped make that happen, and it, maybe some of them would have anyway, but the BSM.
Baptist Student Ministry.
They brought their letters out and put them on that hill at order of the pack. That, as much as anything, when all those other organizations were sitting there, and we even made a point to kind of point it out, they were over there on the mic. I think that really helped kind of say, okay.
Set the tone.
Yeah. So we had, I don't know, 6, 7, however many sets of letters out there. I hope that number even goes up this week. But again, a really minor thing, but a big step. It makes sure students, because we just hammer at them, but kind of how much ownership we want them to have in it. And that's just another layer of that, and I'm glad to see they finally starting to take us up on it.
Yeah, thought it was a nice
and
touch.
And then, well, here's where I would told you I would take you guys behind the scenes. I'll try to do the Reader's Digest version, but the first home football game at any athletic department, I mean, it's the biggest undertaking of the year. The week of it's the busiest week of the year. But for whatever reason, there was a great sense of calm around our department. And I don't even just mean my staff. I mean, our department, everybody felt ready. So much so that you'd hear a lot of conversations, and I was even thinking, like, what are we missing? Like, what am I forgetting about? Because it sure is calm, and we sure seem prepared here. What am I forgetting? Because stuff's going to come up. That sense of calm kind of went into game day, getting stuff done, getting stuff ready, and I mean, then all of a sudden, you know, kind of it really gets going with Red Wolf Walk, and that was great. There's a song that they have played as they walk into the stadium. We stop it when they get circled up. They talk, they pray, they go in the locker room. We play that song again. And then from there, music is playing. And it's off a playlist that we get really from the football team, because it's kind of their pregame playlist. So from that point, 4 o'clock on, we're playing music. Everything's going right according to plan. And for some reason, though, I mean, honest to goodness, we go through our first round of kind of things on the video board and PA announcements and videos 50 minutes out. And then back into that, we're going back after that, going back into some music, because that's right about the time the full team comes out for warmups. And there's one song that we're going to play that starts that. And when it came time to go back to it, with the team about to come out for the first time, stuff went sideways. Wi-Fi signal froze on the machine we were using. Couldn't get the song going. And it set off this like chain of events. Really throughout, I would say, the pregame and the whole first half of the game where, and I'll give credit, a lot of it to Peyton Burr, who runs our video board, because especially in the pregame, he was able to help us do some stuff on the fly that kept people from probably knowing just how off the rails things were behind the scenes.
Wow.
We were losing camera signals all over the place. We were losing our ability to communicate on a headset down to our people on the field all over the place. The DJ signal from over the deck would just randomly just drop. No short in a cable. It would still even show in the audio board that it was connected. We had signal, and it would just go away. And it happened, unfortunately, one time right in the middle of the Red Wolves dancers' performance. The music just stopped for no – I mean, we had sound technicians from two different companies up there working on it, and they can't tell you what's going on.
Just random stuff.
And I do think – I think some of it's heat-related. They had to go put the cameras away. Like, there's a time – wait, stuff's happening so early. But at one point in time in the afternoon, they had to go take the cameras down because they were getting too hot because it was unbelievably humid.
Yeah.
I hope that was playing a little role on it because things did kind of settle down a little bit in the second half when the sun was down. It wasn't quite as weird, but hopefully, short of the Red Wolves dancers part, you guys didn't notice, if you're in the stands, the stuff I'm talking about, and that's a credit to our team because it was chaotic behind the scenes.
Well, when it's chaotic behind the scenes, that's the challenge. You got to make it appear like it's not.
And then you mentioned, I mean, and then on top of that, you know, you mentioned that big long drive we went on and having Mark Taylor look up when the last time there was a drive that long. It also shorted us a media timeout in the first quarter. There were only two and there were supposed to be three. And so then you got to worry about making that back
that's
up.
That's right. Now, it's funny you mentioned that because one thing we talked about at the end of the first quarter was just how quickly it went. And with the clock changes, the clock used to stop after every first down. Doesn't do that anymore unless it's inside 2 minutes. We looked up at the end of the first quarter, the game kicked at 6:02. It was 6:32 after one quarter. And you're thinking, man, this is great. We're going to be done in no time. And I think the second quarter lasted about an hour because I think there were five called timeouts. There was the two-minute timeout. It was at least 7:30 before we got to halftime.
So just so you know, I don't know where else you can go and get this information, but there are three media timeouts in the first and third quarters and four in the second and fourth. And so when we went through the first quarter, there were only two. Look, these are TV breaks, right? They're not just going away. They're getting in. And so now all of a sudden you scramble around. And then working off a script, because everything is scripted in this football game, now all of a sudden you're having to do like this shell drill. All right, well, this was really supposed to happen here, but now the next break was really the quarter break. So you're just on top of all this other stuff. You're trying to, all right, what's moving to where? And you're doing all this stuff on the fly with people on the field you can't communicate with.
Yeah, that makes it a challenge.
It was really something, and I'm proud of our crew for keeping it on the rails because it was a struggle.
Well, we got through it. Overall, I think a really, really positive Saturday because of the crowd, everything that went into it, able to get the win, the fact that everybody stuck around to the end of the game, something to build on, and hopefully we can have an even bigger crowd this Saturday for the Tulsa game. We'll talk about the Tulsa game and everything else that's happening in the world of Bay State Athletics when we come back to wrap things up right after this.
At First National Bank, our mortgage lending team knows what it takes to make a home and a superior home loan process. Simple, proven, and reliable service with competitive rates at a bank that already feels like home. Since 1889, that's been the First National Bank way, because for our people, this is home. Apply online at fnbank.net/mortgage. From our family to yours. Welcome home. First National Bank. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Red Wolf fans, this is Demario Davis, proud Red Wolf and linebacker for the New Orleans Saints. And I'm asking you to help out our current A-State student athletes by donating to the Impact Club. This organization helps our program stay competitive and supports our players by facilitating NIL agreements that allow them to endorse local charities. Make a monthly commitment and get access to team newsletters, special gear, and exclusive access you won't find anywhere else. Find out more and give today at Impact FirstNationalBankClub.com. Thank you, and Wolves up.
Wrapping things up here on the Second to None podcast, presented by First National Bank and by Cavanaugh Auto Group. You can check out Cavanaugh's entire selection of new and pre-owned vehicles at CavanaughCars.com. Congrats to our man Brian Gerwig and the A-State volleyball team. What a start to the season. They won all three games at the A-State Invitational over the weekend. They swept SEMO Friday afternoon. I actually caught the very end of that match. I needed to see my buddy Matt Stoltz over there coaching for SEMO.
Yeah. How about that, so folks? They actually, yeah.
SEMO has an assistant on their volleyball staff named Matt Stoltz that actually spells his last name the right way.
Yes.
I've known about this guy for a couple of years because he randomly just followed me on Twitter a couple of years ago. So I thought, well, I'll just follow him back. I mean, it's not a very common name. So for whatever reason, we've been following each other on Twitter the last couple of years. And he was over there on the SEMO staff the other night. And you had actually sent me a... you were preparing to do the ESPN Plus broadcast. And
yep.
I guess you saw him and sent a picture to our little group.
Yeah, I have a similar...
But we were both in the same building.
Yeah. There's a Brad Bobo, who was like a jazz musician out on the West Coast.
Really?
Yeah. It was the reason I couldn't get at Brad Bobo on Twitter back in the day. it was funny, yeah, because like I said, then he even spelled it the same way as you, because, you know, people, I'm sure your whole life have been trying to give you that extra T.
They have, yeah. We sweep SEMO Friday afternoon. And then Friday night, Ole Miss was part of this A-State Invitational and had a good crowd, over 1,100 on hand for that one. And after our girls lost the first set, they came back and won the next three.
Even at 1 o'clock on Friday afternoon against SEMO, and he said, on top of everything else, had to do a couple of ESPN Plus broadcasts. But that was an easy yes when I knew we needed somebody, because I had... Hey, we don't have a play-by-play guy for these two matches. And Jerry Scott would vouch for me on this. I said, is Craig Cummins doing color? And he said, yep, I'm in. Because then I knew I'd be good. But even at 1 o'clock Friday afternoon, a decent little crowd in there. And then all of a sudden, we get in there for that match Friday night against Ole Miss. And, you know, we had been pushing it and talking about it and had the promotion with the football tickets and this and that. And all of a sudden, it's like, golly, there's a bunch of people in here. And the thing about it, here's what was interesting. There were a bunch of students at that
awesome
match Friday night. That student section down there sitting with the Howlers band, there was a bunch of them. And so, number one, I was like, well, this is great for right now. But it also is like, hey, maybe that means they're coming tomorrow. And sure enough, they did. The atmosphere was great. The fans were into it. Sort of kind of almost kind of goosebumps type stuff at the end. And for me, selfishly, and not to be overly dramatic or romantic about it, when you're at the end of a long stretch, you're kind of on fumes the day before the first home football game. It was almost one of those kind of, oh yeah, that's why we do this type moments.
Yeah.
Because it was really electric in there. Team played great, responded to drop in the first set. And then what was interesting is, you've been hearing about this freshman they had named Addison Collum. Coaches were big on her. And the truth is, she's actually one of my daughter's roommates. But the coaching staff was big on her. And I think she's going to help us somewhere along the way. She didn't play in the SEMO match. And I was like, I was interesting to me. I thought we might see her. Hadn't been on the floor in the Ole Miss match. And all of a sudden, in that fourth set, they put her out there. And they didn't put her out there. They started feeding her. And she went berserk. I mean, I think she had like 7 kills and 2 blocks in the fourth set.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, okay. And then she drew the start against St. Louis on Saturday, a match where they came from behind and won in 5 to get to 3-0. So, yeah, really fun weekend there. Electric atmosphere Friday night. Would love to do it again, although we got to wait a while, right? They spend the next 3 weekends on the road and then get home at the end of the month for Sunbelt play.
Our buddy Sarah Martinez finished as the MVP of the tournament. No coincidence, she was in here 2 weeks ago as a guest on this very podcast. And Deidreana Kale, Deidre's sister, was also named to the all-tournament team. And I remember we were talking with Coach Gerwig and Sarah both about Deidreana. And They said, yeah, she's really, really good.
Maybe some good social media content these days. I would take like some of our athletes from our other sports and stick them on one side of the net and see if they can handle a Dejronna Kale serve. Okay. It is wicked. Top spin, heavy, sink. I mean, she does a lot of stuff at the net too, right? She's a big-time player, middle blocker. I mean, she does all the things. But her serve is a weapon.
Well, they're off to a 3-0 start. Congratulations to volleyball. And they're going to be in Murfreesboro this weekend at the Blue Raider Bash. They'll take on Lehigh Friday at 4, Austin Peay Saturday at 11, and then they'll take on Middle Tennessee Sunday at 2. On to soccer. Last Thursday, and you mentioned this earlier, took on UCA. Great start to that match. Emma Riles, second to none podcast guest just a few weeks ago.
The pattern here.
With a goal just 12 seconds in. How about that? Right off the opening kick, she's able to score. And then Phoebe Harpole scored another goal in the 20th minute, but a lightning delay at the intermission, and the game was suspended. A makeup date will be determined later on. So no final in that one. And I thought it was interesting. I heard about this, and I'm on the other side of town, and I'm like, there's no lightning over here. I don't see anything. There wasn't even any rain.
Yeah, it's one of those deals similar to what we were talking about with football, where it was just close enough to keep causing that delay. And what really happened here is that the delay got reset enough times that by the time that 30 minutes lightning-free really expired, they didn't have enough time to get the whole second half in. They didn't have enough daylight left.
Yeah, there's no lights.
And they don't have lights over at the soccer and track complex, which is something we'd love to get fixed one of these days. So really, it was a combination of it was the lightning delay, but then the suspension was about the fact there wasn't enough daylight left to get it in. But, you know, it's interesting. Like, has Corey Rucker been on this podcast?
He has.
Game-winning touchdown. Sarah Martinez been on this podcast. MVP of the A-State Invitational. Emma Riles gets on this podcast. Scored what's probably the quickest goal in A-State soccer history, 12 seconds in.
No coincidence.
Hopefully this is a trend we've reversed. Like, we've reversed the curse. That's the point. I was going to quit having athletes on this podcast because they all ended up in the portal.
No, this is a good thing.
So I think we have, knock on wood, we reversed the curse.
They're going to be asking to come in soon.
I'd rather it be that way for sure.
All right, so the match on Thursday didn't finish, and then the Red Wolves went on the road Sunday, and they fell 1-0 at Louisiana Tech. It was the first goal allowed all season by the Red Wolves. Now the record at 2-1-1. They'll host Kansas State coming up Thursday at 3. How about that?
Yeah, you know, we've talked about all these things where we've had big crowds. It'd be nice to have another one. Get K-State coming in here. Free admission at the soccer complex Thursday at, 3 o'clock? Yeah. Of course, we're recording this on Monday, Labor Day, so depending on when you're listening to it, Thursday is showing some clouds and 79 degrees. By the way, not to get ahead of ourselves, and we'll knock on wood. Saturday is showing sunny, 0% chance of precipitation, high of 78.
Goodness gracious, you can't ask for better.
You cannot.
Especially
perfect.
The first Saturday of September.
So, I mean, I hope our friends in the forecast game have got this one nailed because it is absolutely perfect.
Soccer has that match Thursday at 3 against Kansas State. Then they'll be on the road Sunday at 1 when they travel to Bowling Green to take on Western Kentucky. Men's and women's golf both in action at the same event. That doesn't happen very often, but they'll be at Pawleys Island, South Carolina, coming up starting on Sunday, playing in the Golf Week Fall Challenge.
We should put on a combo event. We're like, the same 8 schools, like, bring their men's and women's teams and figure out a way to combine the scores.
Has anybody ever done that?
I don't know. It's rare enough that we're even in the same place. Like, I'd already noticed it. I mean, matter of fact, as I was typing out some PA reads or looking at or something, and was looking at kind of upcoming schedules, I went and had to go, like, look 2 or 3 times because I thought I had gotten crossed up because I kept seeing the same place. I don't know. Let's check into whether there's any event like that. We got to figure one out.
It leads up to football this Saturday at 6 against Tulsa. We've talked about it quite a bit. This is the second time since 1987 that we've had back-to-back home games to start the season.
And the other one was, by the way, you know, we say that. It's only happened 2 times in whatever that is. You know,
3 years ago.
Yeah, it hadn't been that long, but that was it. That was UCA Memphis.
But we have a legitimate chance here to start 2-0, and I had to go back and look. If we start 2-0, it'll be the first time since 2008, Texas A&M and Texas Southern. I think we all remember those that were
both of those games
around back then. Remember those games extremely vividly because of number one, starting the season with that win at A&M and then coming back the very next week and putting up 83 points on Texas Southern when we were certainly not trying to run up the score. Heck, I remember vividly the next week, the game against Southern Miss.
Yeah.
And the electric environment we had in there. But yeah, it's been 16 years since A-State started 2-0. Now, you and I were talking about it before we even started recording. A lot of years, we didn't really give ourselves a good shot to start 2-0. But this is a pretty unique opportunity here.
Yeah, I mean, just the reality of it, a lot of times your guarantee game is in one of those first two spots. So you've already made the job, as you said, much tougher, but those are also the first two football games as the Red Wolves, that last 2-0 start. The atmosphere, I remember that Texas Southern game, how good it was, and then at the end of the first quarter, in between the first and second quarter, was the introduction of Howell, first time he showed up. But the atmosphere is good. And look, here's the deal, folks, and gosh, if you're listening to this and you're able, you're going to be there, I understand. But tell anybody that's on the fence, after Saturday, from a football standpoint, the next three Saturdays, do whatever you want. There's not another one for practically a month, and that's homecoming. So you got three free weekends from a football standpoint, playing whatever you want. They know lakes drying up between now and then. The rivers are still going to be running. So one more time. Saturday was great. But let's be real about it. We can't count on Tulsa to bring as many people as UCA did.
They brought a good group.
So we got to do our part to make this crowd even bigger. And I think we can do it. And like I said, get the first 2-0 start in a long time.
You know what else I remember about that Texas Southern game?
What's that?
Hoppy.
Oh, yeah. That is.
That was the design shop game when they had the discount going. Whatever the margin of victory was that previous Saturday, they were going to give
that percentage off.
That percentage off the following Monday. And winning by 73, he had to give a 73%.
Well, let's say they stuck with it. And
there was a line coming out the door.
When they said, hey, they didn't think to put the fine print in there with some kind of cap because how if you think you'll need one?
We need to get Hoppy in on the podcast just to tell that story sometime.
But yeah, to their credit, they stuck right there with it. I mean, they made national news.
They did.
But that was the thing memorable, as you said. Then I've never seen a coaching staff so mad about scoring 80-something points. And it's not like Walt Bell mad. Walt Bell would have said, damn, we could have scored 110. But these guys, like this coaching staff was like mad because they didn't want to score 80-something points. They were trying like heck not to score 80-something points.
And Texas Southern kept throwing the football. They kept throwing it incomplete and killing the clock.
If I remember correctly at the time, I feel like Arkansas State only ran four different plays the entire second half. They just kept calling the same four plays.
Yeah.
Refusing to tackle, run right down the field, score a touchdown, then kicking the ball, throw three incomplete passes, take about 10 seconds off the clock, punt it over and do it all over again.
Anyway, we covered a lot.
Sure did.
Is there anything we forgot?
Hey, free Greenway caps for the first 1,000 through the gates. Those were really popular last year. I still see people wearing them around. And this one's even a little different. It's a patch you've probably never seen before. Made just for Greenway. That's on the front of their cap this year. I think they'll be just as, if not more, popular. So those will go out to the first 1,000. They're already in the building, loaded up and ready to go.
We hope to see you at soccer Thursday at 3. We hope to see you at football Saturday at 6. And we hope to have you join us once again next week for our next edition of the Second to None podcast presented by First National Bank and by the Cavanaugh Auto Group.